Oi oi, and welcome to the Orient Outlook podcast, sponsored by Carol Angley Florist, with myself, Steve Nussbaum, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend, my South Stand chum, the bearded legend, the one and only, the daddy-o, it's Mr. Paul Levy.
Thank you very much indeed. Hello everybody, welcome back. This is episode number 352, and as always, thanks to everyone who tuned into our last show, which, as we figured out just before we start recording, was actually 3 weeks ago, because obviously we had Exeter postponed. We didn't record last weekend, which was Easter weekend. So here we are today, 3 weeks later. Thanks very much to everyone who messaged us. We are pleased that we are going to be filling the void that has been for the last 2 or 3 weeks. We've got a bit of a bumper show this week, obviously. Only 3 games, but nonetheless, there's still those 3 which will quickly go over, and news from the last, obviously, 2 or 3 weeks as well. Quite a fair bit's been going on, so we'll just bring you up to speed in case you've missed anything from there as well. But as always, we start our shows with a word from our very, very brilliant sponsors.
We certainly do, and they are Carol Angley Florists, who hopefully you know are based in Chingford and have served the borough of Waltham Forest and the surrounding area for over the last 70 years. They've got a fantastic team there. They can do anything for you, from bespoke wedding events, family funeral tributes, birthdays, anniversaries, bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, you name it, they'll do it for you. And it gets better. They offer 15% off to all those fans and staff, which could give you a huge saving on any flower requirements that you have. So you can get in touch with John and the team in various ways. You can give them a call on the telephone on 0208 529 4130. You can look the guys up online by visiting their website, which can be found at www.carollangley.co.uk. Or you can find the guys on social media. They're on all the major platforms. You can find them on Instagram under Carol Langley Florists. You can find them on Twitter at Carol Langley E4, or you can find the team on Facebook at Carol Langley Florists.
Yeah, indeed you can. So let's move on then to the Supporters Club. There's just one update at the moment to tell you about. We're off to Derby County on the 13th of April. There's a 3 o'clock kickoff. Coaches will leave the Supporters Club at 9:30. Adult cost for this is £33, concessions are £30, and children are 17. There's a £3 surcharge if you're not a member. Obviously, do bear in mind that the trains are not cheap and they are unreliable at the moment, so this could be the safest and best option for you to get there and back. And remember, those prices don't include your match day ticket, and all children must be travelling with an adult. So to book for that trip or Shrewsbury, which is the last game of the season, you can go into the Supporters Club on a match day, or you can call the travel line. That's 07507 539 579. I'm sure you know it by now. We've said it every week this season. It's not changed. It's still the same number.
Yeah, and Starman Awards 3 weeks this evening. We'll be partying at the Prince Regent. I believe the tickets are still available for the sum of £75. So I'll be there. Come and say hello if you're there. Be a great night celebrating the season that was at LOFC. So 2 pieces of AOB, Mr. Levy. The first piece, a very sad piece of news. We were saddened to hear the passing of former player Peter Bennett. He played for the O's from 1970 to 1979, made over 200 appearances for the club, and was part of the side that reached the 1978 FA Cup semi-final. So we send our condolences to Peter's family and friends. And last piece of AOB this week, I obviously work for HMV, I think quite a lot of people know that. I was quite pleasantly surprised to get an email from the manager of HMV Wigan, a guy called Tara. So thanks for the email, Tara. He asked me to give a shout out to his friend and massive O's fan, James Patterson, who I've heard likes to listen to the podcast when running and will be listening to this very podcast when running the London Marathon. So, James, I don't know how far you got to go as you're listening to this, but I hope the marathon is going well for you, and I hope we have brightened up your marathon experience. All right, 3 weeks to cover. That's a lot of action to pick up on. We're going to start a happy Monday, 18th of March, quite a day at the club, with no news to report as everyone was getting over our Jordan Graham interview, which feels like ages ago, but that was the last episode that we done. So, again, massive thank you to Jordan and the club for sorting that out. Jordan seems to be heading back to fitness. Lots of good videos on his social media accounts, and an absolute pleasure to speak to him. It's going to be great to have him back next season.
Yeah, won't it, Jas? It'd be like a brand new signing as well. to be fair. And it was also like, I follow him on social, so it was good to see he's back in the UK, back recovering and seems to be doing pretty well, which is always nice to see. To Hue Tuesday, then the 19th of March, as we move forwards in the afternoon, an Orient 11 made up of mostly first team and youth players took on a Southend 11 at Brisbane Road. The sides for this, or the team that started this game, Sam Howes was in goal, Jaden Sweeney, Jack Simpson, Harrison Soje, St. Louis, Welch, Brown, Obiero. I won't profess to know all the youth team first names. Obiero, Adu Ajayi, Edwards and young Charlie Pegram started that, with some obvious substitutions throughout the game. Pleased to say the O's did win this match 3-2 thanks to goals from Mackay Welsh, Dan Adu Ajayi, and also a name that's been cropping up in our plans for the last few weeks is Dan Carter.
Yeah, so we had a DM from a very old West Stand chum, a guy called Adam Willis, who used to sit in front of us with his dad. This is like early 90s, mid-90s. Really yeah. Nice guy, really nice family. And it turns out that Dan Carter is the nephew of our friend Adam Willis. So Dan Carter is an actual O by blood, which is great to hear. So he hasn't only got a cool name, he's got a cool family as well. And he scored in that game. So always great to hear. So look forward to what the future holds for young Dan Carter. Thanks for your message, Adam. I've not heard from Adam in about 25, 30 years since I used to see him in the West End.
Amazing, isn't it? So what the podcast can do.
Amazing.
But also, it was good. Jason Dimitri came back with Southend as well. So another XO through the academy. Coming back, fortunately for him, he wasn't on the winning side.
Ha, good. It's Wednesday, 20th of March. massive congratulations to another young O, Charlie Pegram, who signed his first pro contract with the O's on this day. He signed a 2.5-year deal. So, a massive well done to Charlie. A name I'm sure we'll hear much more of in the upcoming season or two, hopefully.
Yeah, I'd like to see him get some minutes in the last few games of the season, to be honest. I think that would be great. Also on Wednesday, the EFL confirmed that our final day fixture against Shrewsbury Town on Saturday the 27th of April, that's now kicking off at 12:30. So if you've already booked your train tickets, you need to change the going out time, and maybe even the coming home time, because that is now 12:30 kickoff. It isn't uncommon, I think, if I remember rightly, as long as I can remember, all the last game of the seasons started at 12:30.
Yeah, they do mess about with the fixtures, the good old EFL. All right, Thursday, the 21st of March, a day Rui Osotoyo will always remember, as he made his full international debut. He came on as a sub in the 62nd minute in Cyprus's 1-1 home draw against Latvia. So a full-fledged international. Well done, Mr. Sotiriou.
Indeed, absolutely. Also in that side was young Hector Kyprianou. I don't know if he was making his debut or not. Anyway, Friday the 22nd of March, the club announced that young O, Harrison Soji and Reece Byrne had joined National League side Dartford FC. That's on loan until the end of this season, so there's the last few games of their league as well. So good luck to both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep a close eye, see how they get on. So, okay, Saturday the 23rd of March, the senior team weren't in action, so they were supposed to be playing Exeter City, like Paul mentioned at the beginning of the pod. That obviously got postponed, hence no podcast that week. But the young O's were in action. They hosted Plymouth Argyle at Buckhurst Hill, and it was the O's who took the lead in the 12th minute as Divine Samuel opened the scoring as we went in 1-0 up at half-time. Plymouth equalised in the 65th minute, but the O's, who are on a great run of form, won the game 2-1 thanks to another goal from Divine Samuel in the 86th minute. Has he got a brace? The O's ran out winners. Well done, young O's. What absolutely a fantastic little run they have been on.
Yeah, indeed they have. And long may that continue. Sunday the 24th of March now. 24th of March now, as we move on. Leighton Orient ladies travelled to Northwest London to start their last 6 Premier League games, which if they did win them all, that would pretty much guarantee them the title and a promotion out of that league. Opponents for this one were Headstone Manor Women's FC, who had already got the bragging rights over the O's, having won 2-1 at Buckhurst Hill back in September. And the pitch in Harrow was described as very heavy, which is obviously not good match for the Orient ladies' passing and possession-based strategy game.
All right, let's talk about the first half then. It was evenly matched after both sides were unable to make the breakthrough, so the game went in goalless at half-time. But things are good for the ladies in red just after the restart, with Liliana Almeida found a net, but home side on the back foot. Chances came and went both ends, but it was the home star, Amy Shaw, who was well-placed to convert a rebound in the 73rd minute to level things up, make it 1-1.
Indeed, Headstone were now piling on the pressure. Reds keeper Lola Duryea rushed out to save at the feet of an onrushing Stones forward. It looked like being a key moment as she kept the O's in the game with the clock ticking. However, it was Blues' Amy Shaw again who made the difference by hitting two more goals in the final minutes. Her hat-trick was just too much for the plucky Orient ladies, and that result now means that the O's are unlikely to challenge the top clubs unless they slip up themselves. Bit of a mountain for them to climb now. So thanks to the LOFC ladies for sending that report in to us. Much appreciated.
Absolutely great report. More to come on the ladies later on in the episode. All right, Monday the 25th of March, I turned 44. Thanks to everyone for their birth. That feels like ages ago. That feels like so long ago. Thanks to everyone for their well wishes. Always nice to get lots of messages from everyone in the Oink community, especially people I've not met before, which is always appreciated. Thanks to everyone. And as well as my birthday, it was a big day in the clubs. They announced season card prices for the 24-25 season. Important date for your diaries and an early one. Don't get caught out. Friday the 3rd of May is the deadline to renew your seat by. There's also a waiting list deadline, which I think is even earlier than that. So I don't think the club are going to extend the Friday 3rd of May deadline. I don't remember, they extended last year's deadline. Maybe twice, even if I remember rightly. They're not going to extend it by the looks of it. So don't get caught out. Friday the 3rd of May, it's not actually that long away. It's about 3 or 4 weeks on Friday. So make sure you renew your season tickets and don't get caught out, because I think if you lose it, it's going to be awfully hard to get it back, judged by what the club are putting out there at the moment.
Yeah, it's 4 weeks. Friday just gone.
Yeah.
Good luck. You have less than 4 weeks. So payday April will be a good one. Right, Ruel was an unused sub in Cyprus's 1-0 loss against Serbia on Monday the 25th of March. That was obviously international week, so let's move on.
Yeah, all right, Thursday the 26th of March. Not only my birthday the day before, but the day after, happy birthday to O's manager Super Richie Wellens, who also turned 44. I can't believe I'm a day older than Super Richie Wellens. Richie, hope you had a good one. Hope you had a lovely day.
Yeah, indeed. Wednesday the 27th of March, more birthday action as it was a happy birthday to Orient fan Lottie, who turned a grand ripe age of 90. Congratulations, Lottie. I don't even know if you listen or if you do or not, but congratulations. We hope you had the most brilliant of days.
Absolutely. The big 9-0. All right, Thursday the 28th of March, the club announced that young O Ethan Wright had joined National League Northside Banbury United. He's gone there on a 28-day loan, which we'll see him there until the end of their season. So as always, wish Ethan all the best of luck. It's good to see some young O's getting out and about, getting some good experience, good first-team football, and again, hopefully kick on next season.
Indeedy. So, Good Friday, the 29th of March. The table-topping young O's were in action at home against Premier League outfit Luton Town. And the young O's took the lead in the 20th minute thanks to a well-worked move. Mohammed drove in from the left. His first attempt was saved. Dan Carter drilled in the rebound into the roof of the net to make it 1-0 to the O's.
Yeah, again, Dan Carter. Again, 6 minutes into the second half, Divine Samuel doubled our lead as he was fouled on the edge of the box, got onto his stronger foot, let fly into top right-hand corner, 2-0. The O's weren't done. In the 80th minute, Aaron Sterling added a third after the ball was recovered high up the pitch. And he finished well, 3-0. What else can happen in this one?
Well, Al Sadi added a fourth in the 84th minute after good footwork saw him weave around the Luton box, and he placed his effort into the far left corner, thankfully with the help of the post.
Yeah, fifth and final goal came in the 89th minute, thanks to Chinedu, as the match finished Orient 5, Luton Town 0.
Premier League Luton Town, that is.
Crazy. Well done to the table-topping young O's on a wonderful result there. Well done, amazing result.
It really is, absolutely. So the main event of the day was Lincoln City, and that's an away. That was away, obviously. Before the game, we ran our usual Twitter poll to see how you think we'd get on in this one. And after 311 votes, you voted as follows. 29% of you said that we'd lose this, 30% thought we'd draw, but a whopping 41% thought we'd win. So thanks to everyone who took a moment to cast your vote.
All right, so at 2 o'clock on Good Friday, the team was announced with Sol putting goal with Tom James, Omar Beckles, Brandon Cooper. I was about to say Bradley Cooper. I got fast for a second.
Not the Hollywood guy.
No, absolutely. That's and Rob Hunt at the back. In midfield, we had Darren Pratley, Idris Elmazouni and Jordan Brown, with Sanders, Ford and Satou making up the 11. And on the bench, we had Howes, Sweeney, Galbraith, Moncur, O'Neill, Adu Ajay, and Joe Piggott.
Yeah, that meant it was one change to the O starting lineup from the team that beat Stevenage, as in came Jordan Brown with former Orient loanee Alex Mitchell starting on loan for the hosts.
Just that being a legendary, what were your views when you saw that team announced?
I mean, pretty much as expected. I thought Galbraith might go straight back in, but I'm pleased Rob Hunt gets a starting spot. I think he's deserved it, and I suspect Idris will be slightly further forward for this one. So it'd be interesting to see. Thought it was a decent lineup though, good bench.
Yeah, all right. Lots of views when that team is announced. I'm going to mention a few that come in. Alan Reeves too said, whatever happened to Jack Simpson after we signed him? Have I missed something? So I guess at this point, important to say he had two more games left of his suspension. We're also going to talk about Jack Simpson in a little while.
That game and the Peterborough game, because obviously he was available yesterday.
Yeah, I thought it was quite relevant though, because obviously we signed him and he'd completely gone off the radar, even though we knew he was suspended. It was a good reminder that we obviously had him waiting to come back in the wings.
Indeed. Matthew 81402115 said, Galbraith at fullback instead of TJ or Hunt, personally. The boy's magic.
Yeah, LOFC 1971 said, keep it tight until mid second half, then bring on the subs to push and win the game. Simple.
If only football was that simple. Ha. The first match between the two sides at Sincil Bank for 18 years kicked off with both teams still harbouring playoff ambitions, with the O's having the task of going up against their in-form hosts.
Yeah, so Lincoln on very, very strong form coming into this one. We're going to cover this one fairly briefly because it feels like ages ago, even though it was only 9 days ago, really. Yeah. All right, the O's had an early chance here as a Tom James long throw found its way to Dan Pratley, who strike was tipped over the bar by Jensen.
Yeah, maybe Pratley should have done a bit better there. I might be being a bit harsh, but I thought maybe he could have possibly done a little bit better there. But anyway, Ruel had a chance in the 13th minute, but Alex Mitchell did well to deny him.
All right.
I do like Alex Mitchell. I would definitely have Alex Mitchell back. He's done very well for Lincoln, so he's proven now at League One. I would be very pleased to have Alex Mitchell back at Orient. Just, I might be in a minority there, but I'm throwing it out there.
All right. I mean, I obviously didn't watch the Lincoln match, and I haven't seen anything that's what he's done. But not a bad point there.
He's in a side that's literally pushing for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they're that big a club that would do well in the Championship. It'd be a bit like Luton going in the Premier League. Yeah. But it'd be like that for them.
Fair point. All right, Ruel was a busy boy in this one. He had another effort on target around the half-hour mark. 2 minutes later, Shaq Ford had an effort, sent it straight at Jensen.
Yeah, chance for Lincoln in the 42nd minute. Taylor got in behind the defence following a smart free kick, but he fired his effort well wide of the near post.
Yeah, good little free kick there. Bit lucky Taylor fluffed his lines there, because he hasn't been fluffing his lines in most of their games, from what I can see.
Good let off.
All right, 1 minute of additional time played out in this one. No further talking points as the referee brought the half to a close with the game goalless.
Yeah, absolutely. 0-0 at half time. Attendance for this was 9,922. 920 of those were Leighton Orient fans.
Well played. Friday. Difficult Fantastic. Journey as well with the difficulties trains. On the trains, from what I understand. All right, no changes at half time for the O's. We'll skip to the 55th minute as Max Sanders picked up a booking for a late challenge on Rowan.
Yeah, double sub on the hour mark as George Moncur and Ollie O'Neill came on to replace Max Sanders and Shaq Ford.
Two good subs to bring on, to be fair. So yeah. The strength of the best. In the 66th minute, a chance for Lincoln as Taylor's cross just missed Hackett at the far post.
And 2 minutes later, Jordan Brown took one for the team as he was booked after he brought down the aforementioned Hackett.
He certainly was. And slightly after 5 minutes, after that, Rosso also picked up a booking. This time for a foul on Rowan as well.
Yeah, big chance came for us in the 74th minute after Ollie O'Neill headed over from an excellent Tom James cross that came in from the right.
Yeah, good header, good cross. Unlucky there not to go in. All right, 15 minutes left. Draper rolled Omar Beckles before cutting an effort into the arms of Sol Brin.
Yeah, 77th minute. Then third change for the O's as Joe Piggott came on to replace Darren Pratley.
Yeah, all right. We're going to skip now to the 84th minute into the end of the game now. More changes for the O's. Idris Elmazouni picked up an injury. He couldn't continue, so he was replaced by Ethan Galbraith. And Ross Tuyu on a booking was substituted. He came off for Dan Adu Ajay.
Yeah, we tried our luck through Ethan Galbraith and Rob Hunt, but Jensen was equal to both their efforts a couple of minutes later.
Yeah, good effort there from Galbraith. I saw on the highlights, well saved by Jensen. However, it was heartbreak for the O's in the 90th minute as Jovan Makama closed down Jordan Brown on our byline after Omar Beckles had ushered the ball away. Brown's clearance hit and fell kindly to Makama, who drove into our box and fired past Sol Brin into the far corner right at the death to make it 1-0 to the hosts.
Yeah, poor goal to concede. I think that's pretty common thought process amongst us Orient fans. We all switched off. I think we deserved a point from that game. But I mean, arguably, the recovery in the second phase of that, should we not be doing better? Could Sol Brin have potentially got to that and actually saved that? Could Omar Beckles stuck a foot out and that, like, all if buts and maybes? It didn't happen. But what I'm trying to say is, I think it was preventable.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that goal was in 5 minutes of additional time were played. No further talking points. Referee brought the match to a close as the O's slipped to a narrow defeat, meaning their faint playoff hopes now surely gone, as Lincoln City moved into sixth place in League One to take the final playoff spot. So Richie Wellens, obviously, he's done the rounds with his interviews. That's been on social media now for the last week and a half. We're obviously not going to play it. If anyone wants to go back and have a listen, they can do that and find it on YouTube and obviously on the club website as well.
Yep. So the league table after that defeat means that we end the month in 10th place. We've now played 40 games at this point, won 16 of them, drawn 10, and we'd lost 14 of them. We've got a goal difference of -1 and we've picked up 58 points. Your views on that game?
Originally, this podcast was supposed to go out on Monday and I wasn't supposed to be doing it, so I paid very little attention to this game. So my notes are tiny. My notes were literally, there's a lesson there for every footballer. You've got to be on it for the whole 90 minutes. Doesn't matter about what you do for the 89 if you're going to switch off on the 90.
Yeah, so true.
Other than that, Lincoln on the crest of a wave. But we should have taken something from that.
Should have taken, yeah.
And that was my thoughts on it. I didn't really follow the game. And when I saw it going in the last minute, my kind of heart sunk a little bit.
Mm.
But, you know, when your luck is on your side, which is what Lincoln are having at the moment, it's on your side. When it's not, it's not. But not a terrible result, considering they were battering team 6-0, 4-0, 5-0 in the run-up to that. To get beat by a last-minute goal, arguably win, we've probably had the better chances in the game. Another day we're sitting here talking about 3 points.
Yeah, or at least a point.
Peterborough. So, yeah, very brief views from me on that one. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, look, one terrible mistake late in the game has cost us, and I can't think why we didn't deal with that situation sooner. We've lacked an edge in the final third all season as well, and so that's two games now we've got nothing from, even though we deserved at least 3 or 4 points. So basically the point I'm trying to make here is that we've played Lincoln. Well, obviously we played them 3 times, but
yeah.
You know what counts is 2 games we've got nothing from them. I'm also gutted that we've now lost Idris for the season, because that means, does that mean he'll return to Ipswich for treatment, or are they happy for us to treat him, because obviously he's their player? Look, we're in 10th place with a severely depleted squad, so I think, you know, the overall thing is, the bigger picture is, it's a massive achievement to be where we're at given the losses that we've had this season in terms of personnel. So yeah, not too downbeat about this.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point about Idris, because nothing's really come out of the club about Idris. Richie's obviously mentioned it in one post-match, I think.
Yeah.
And there's not been anything else said by the club.
Yeah.
Which is quite surprised about, actually. Because, obviously, season's got 3 or 4 weeks left.
Yeah.
Richie said he's out for 4 months. Not being the strongest of mathematicians, but being capable enough tells me that Idris Omizuni isn't playing for Leighton Orient again in this season, and his loan is done. So I'd be interested to see what happens now with Idris. Because, obviously, he's out for 4 months.
That's August.
April, mate. He's not going to get a pre-season, which might work in Orient's favour, because it might potentially put clubs off of him, because he might not be getting a pre-season. So that might be a strange blessing in disguise for Orient, because it might put off a few more attractive suitors, shall we say. So
yep.
Be interested to see what happens with Idris there. If he does go out that way, it'd be a shame to see him obviously bow out that way.
I dare say he'll probably come. I mean, pre-season starts end of June, early July. I dare say, I mean, it's a month out, so I dare say that he'll probably be involved in pre-season, probably the latter half of it. Again, not knowing what his problem is, not knowing how long it takes. But, you know, if it's 4 months, he did it at the end of March, so arguably he might be fit. But to your point, yeah, I think that might put off a few suits who definitely will want to get their business sorted sooner rather than later. And obviously he's got another year left at Ipswich. Well, you know, if they get into the Premier League, he's definitely not going to be called into their squad then, so he'll be surplus to requirement. With £120 odd million payment, can they just afford to just keep him in the squad and loan him out to a champ side?
Possibly. I mean,
or a top, you know, a big, like a Charlton, for example, you know, a bigger club that will pay all of his wages.
Yeah, it'll be interesting what happens with Idris El Mazzouni. Obviously, we'll be keeping a very close eye on that as it happens. Yeah,
certainly will.
All right, those were our views. Lots of your views come in at full time. We're going to mention a few, just because we read them does not mean we agree with them. Doyle_Hooper said sickener One team came to win the game and the other got all 3 points. Scrappy game with not much in it. A shame that an error has cost us.
Yeah, indeed. Wrecker blew out. So I thought the first half we were poor in defence, but we had good chances. I felt like we were the better team in the second half, but a bit of slack clearing of the ball cost us in the end. I think TJ had a bit of a mare. The ref was awful as well, and it's a shame to have lost both like that to them this year.
Yeah, obviously two very late goals, like you said, getting them 6 points and us none. At PM at 3190, so seen them 3 times this season and they've taken 6 points and haven't hardly done anything to deserve them.
Indeed. Timothy James, CL2, said, no disgrace at all, considering how successful Lincoln have been recently and how many goals they've put past the last three sides they've put to the sword. Fair point.
Yeah, it was a fair point. As I say, we kept them at bay until 90 minutes and it was only a bit of mistake really that's let them in.
Conway turned over teams. They haven't just beaten them like 1-0. They've turned them over.
Yeah, they didn't turn us over.
Pulled their pants down massively.
Conway underscore Nigel said, oh well, very positive season, which we would have gladly accepted last August, but the obvious lack of firepower has cost us in the end. We just keep having poor transfer windows though, and I hope the club's ambition going forward matches Rich's. That is a good point. I think had we been sitting here in this very Orient Outlook podcast towers in August or September and someone went, actually by the mid early April you're going to be 10th very comfortably, you would have gone, All right, governor.
Yeah,
take that. I will snap your hand off.
Yeah.
However, it feels like it has been a bit of a wasted opportunity, which is why some people are seeing it as a bit half empty.
Yeah.
Which is a bit bonkers, really.
Yeah.
But I do see it now a bit more clearly that it is a bit of a wasted opportunity, but
missed.
I think Rich's frustrations now are starting to boil over a little bit. Definitely noticed a change in his post-match interviews that I guess I'll cover when we talk about Peterborough and yesterday, where I think he's kind of getting a bit more, not agitated, but he's a bit more, not negative,
but like it is what it is. Like it is what it is. Like we didn't have a great January transfer window. Potentially, it's cost us an opportunity of going into the playoffs.
Definitely.
Whether the players that we would have signed would have done the business for us to do that is the great unknown. You know, we're not paying hundreds of thousands of pounds for a player to come in that's guaranteeing us X amount of goals or X amount of clean sheets. You have to keep that in mind as well, just to temper this. Okay, we've had two young lads that haven't come in and done exceedingly well from Premier League academies, and you know we've gone down to two defenders, which is kind of what I almost said pre-transfer window. I vaguely remember in one of the podcasts pre-transfer window, but you just don't know. You know, we could have just signed another misfiring striker, for example. We could have signed a defender who gives away penalties too much or fouls or pulls shirts and gets bookings and ends up getting suspended for 3 games. You could have just signed a complete Wally.
Well, we did. I mean, look, we signed Ollie O'Neill, right? And we all know that Ollie O'Neill is going to go on to bigger things later on. I think that much is already very clear in my eyes. He's a Championship League player. Without beating around the bush, Ollie O'Neill will be in the Championship in 2 or 3 years. Whether that's with Orient or not with Orient.
I don't see that at the moment, but okay.
You don't see it?
Not at the moment, no.
Mate, it's literally
Championship.
Yeah.
No, well, I don't see that at the moment.
The Championship's only one level above. I would say Ethan Galbraith's probably Championship.
Really. Yeah, Ethan Galbraith, Championship quality, 100%.
I think Ollie in...
I'm not saying he won't, I just don't think he's there yet.
Oh, I think he... Bear in mind, he's only been with us, what, 2-3 months? He's already scored some outstanding goals, and in more games than not, has been the outstanding or one of the two, three outstanding players. I think he's there.
Mm.
I think I can't remember where the point stemmed from. Oh, people saying
about the transfer window.
We have made some good signings.
Yeah,
I think when you said they haven't done very well, the two kids, I think you've been awfully positive in that because they haven't done anything.
Yeah,
really. When look at Joe Taylor. I talk about Lincoln. Joe Taylor, who was at Colchester until January, got recalled because they saw something in League 2 that made them club feel Luton, that they agreed to go and do something in League 1, which they've done. So they took him out of Colchester, where he was their top goalscorer. They put him into Lincoln, who've taken a chance on him. And he's got 9 goals. I think he's Lincoln's top goalscorer. So when you see things like that happening, you're like, had we been a bit more zavvy like that, and maybe gone for it a bit harder. But I think at the same time, Dan Adjie, at that point, was smashing him in, so... It wasn't really that much of a problem at that point and at that time. So it's all ifs, buts, and maybes. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think it's fair to say those two young lads who might go on to have glittering careers in football.
Yeah.
Because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But they haven't really set the world alight at Leighton.
No, they haven't. And you think that with Keon being 20 years old and in Arsenal's academy on a pro contract, and this is his first loan, you know, out, like, they've got Bukayo Saka in there who's of a similar age playing in the first team. You have to probably think to yourself, well, actually, am I going to make it at Arsenal? Probably not at this age. It's so hard.
He's not making it up, without sounding disrespectful to, he's not making it at Arsenal.
Yeah.
Shaq Ford is 19 years old and a lot better equipped for League One football than Edwards. I don't know what Arsenal's problem is. Arsenal won't loan players to the National League because maybe that's not what Arsenal do, but at some point it feels like we've kind of been not given a dead rubber, but he's not. I was quite excited when we signed him. Had a good highlights reel.
Yeah.
Very excited. He's just not ready for men's football for whatever reason, which is a shame. So I guess there's two kind of, you can either see it half full by going, we signed Ollie O'Neill, we signed Jack Simpson. They look quality. On the other hand, had we gone a bit harder for the attacking players? And we all know from what Nigel said, we did have our eye on a number nine and missed out on one right at the death.
Yeah.
Got messed around. That might have been the difference. But yeah, always about some maybes. But a good point there from Nigel. I think that's probably similar points down the episode plan at points. All right, Matty. So the frustrating end to a season of overachieving. Most of us expected and would have accepted 20th place. So to finish just outside the playoffs is a great foundation to build on next season. It is. It really is.
We've got a good, young, exciting crop of talent. And I include completely Ollie O'Neill in that. I take all your point on what you say about him. I'm not saying he won't play in the Championship, but I don't see that pedigree yet. Like Ethan Galbraith, I would be surprised if we don't get a big offer for him in the summer.
Okay.
Because I think he's that good. He's so standout. Whatever position he plays, he's unbelievably good and way too good for us at this level. He was like Idris was last season for us. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Is that you think, oh, we should go up and play, but I think Idris has found his level to an extent.
Maybe he could
cope at the lower half of the Championship, but you're talking about 19 out of them 24 teams in the Championship are ex-Premier League clubs. Right, 19 out of 24, so three quarters of that are 80% of them are ex-Prem clubs. So it's a massive step up. It really is a big step up. So you're right. It's a really good point. You know, hopefully next season we've got real good solid foundations. Evie Stark said, I think today just showed that we're not ready for the playoffs. How can our players be tired when they had the weekend off? Close season, something has to be done about free kicks, throw-ins and corners, as they're not good enough or dangerous. Some players aren't good enough.
Set piece coach?
Well, I don't know if there's any out there. I mean, the last one we had just won promotion with Hornchurch.
I mean, there was a video doing rounds of Sweeney, a corner that Sweeney took on Monday that was just, I'm a big Jones Sweeney fan, I think we both are here. One of the corners he took on Monday, awful. Was literally like
just flat and straight to their player on the edge of the box.
Yeah, terrible. It might be in that, Evie. We'll see. Jamie Ray, 72. So we create half chances, but not clear cut opportunities. We're too slow in the final third. We missed a couple of quick thinking attackers. But to be frank, we were about Aji, Graham and Theo, and to be honest, we didn't score loads either last season. Another good point there. I mean,
Dan Happy.
You go it's right. If we have an injury free pre-season, right, we go into next. Bear in mind, this is with no additions in the squad, right? Yeah. Front three on the first game of next season with the same squad, if they're all fit.
Yeah.
Ollie O'Neill on the left.
Yeah.
Dan Adji starting as your nine, and Jordan Graham as your right winger. Already, without anyone else, without Rell, without any other summer signings, Piggott, because obviously Piggott is still going to be at the club, or is still contracted
to the club. Yeah, Ruel's
that there. Is an impressive front three leading your line already.
Yeah, with Jordan Brown and Ethan Galbraith behind them.
Exactly, without any other additions.
Yeah, as a first start. Great name on the team.
Graham, who we've seen enough to go, that's a good player there.
100%.
Adji, again, good player there. And only who I think, I've already kind of said my piece around Ollie. That is a good.
Well, you arguably, you would have Aggie as the front, as the nine, and out, and the 10 would be Max Sanders or George Moncur.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that in its own right is unbelievable. Yeah.
So that's a good solid.
As a front four.
That's a good solid.
Fantastic.
That's a good solid. Solid base.
Yeah. It really is. I mean, keeping them fit all season will be the massive.
Yeah, and then you said you've got Galbraith, you've got Jordan Brown, again, who are young players who will be better next season, as will Adji. as will Ollie O'Neill, as will Grant Knight. Exciting times.
Really exciting. Really exciting. Who's next? Who have we got next?
Trousers Techno.
Free scoring. LC, Lincoln City displayed a level and style of performance not dissimilar to Stevenage. A scrappy match in which Leighton Orient seemed largely in control and the only team likely to win it, destroyed by a stupid error in the last minute from which there was no recovery. Season done. We move on.
Boatsy said, if we just had a fit striker that could score goals, then who knows where we could have finished the season. One goal and five is a worry, but today was a typical Orient. A game we should have won, but lost due to error. But that's football.
Yeah, Orient Fan TV said, with getting into the playoffs seemingly gone now, I hope the last six games gives Richie a good look at the players that he wants to stay and those he wants to let go. Thoughts on today's game? Right in it until the end against the team who's scoring goals for fun. Not too disheartened.
Yeah, good point. Paul S. Fisher. So I didn't see a mistake. Their scorer, I got lucky. The ball rebounded for him perfectly. And 99 times out of 100, that would have cannoned off him for a goal kick. I mean, that's a good point.
It's a really good point.
He's still got to finish the chance.
Yeah.
And if he places it over, we don't even talk about that.
Correct.
In our,
it's a passing comment.
It doesn't even make it, and it's 0-0, and we go, that's a decent point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good point there.
Yeah.
From Paul, we're in good shape, but time now to focus entirely on 2024-25. And there's a good point that hopefully I'll remember that Richie said in his post-match yesterday, that yesterday was the starting point for next season. And
yeah.
I thought, that is spot on, mate.
Yeah.
I thought that is absolutely the way to look at it. Yeah. Good tweet.
Casey Adams, well, it's kind of what he did in the last, once he got a safe when he first came in 2022. He used the last three or four games of the season to try things out.
Absolutely.
And like he said, put players in pressured situations to see how they respond and react, which will then tell him who's got the desire and the aptitude to be in his squad for next season, ultimately.
And exactly what Justin done once he got us to a point where we were safe.
God rest his soul.
Built that momentum up. We took it straight into the following season and bosh. We were there, so yeah, couldn't agree
absolutely
with what right.
Had to say. Casey Adams, LOFC, said nobody expected us to be where we are at this point of the year. In the long run, I think it would have been dreadful if we got promoted this season. Just enjoy the rest of the season and time to start planning for next season now.
Yeah, another good tweet. I mean, I don't think it would have been dreadful to go up. I think you would have rolled with the punches had we gone up, but it may have been a bit early for it. But we will see. John W 999 on my tweet. This one. So I feel sorry for Jordan Brown, who's been excellent this season. Ultimately, we do lack that cutting edge to score enough goals, but if we can secure a top 10 finish, it would have been at the top end of the realistic expectation.
And the final word goes to Tommy Atkinson 6, who said, I thought every player did their bit. Ruel and Galbraith, I think, both unlucky with their chances. Didn't deserve to lose either. Hunt or Prattley, man of the match. I hope El Miz is okay.
All right, some great tweets following Lincoln. Some good discussion there, I think we had.
Yeah, I thought that we'd just be on the second game by now, but no, we got held up in our tracks, which is the beauty of doing a live podcast.
All right, so time for the Saltire Orient Prediction League update. Only one correct prediction out of all the predictions that we got for this one. So well done to Stephen Orient. He got 3 points, and on top of our table, roundup is following later on in the podcast.
So let's move on to Saturday, the 30th of March. Now, the under-18s girls team played their 10th league game, having won all of the previous nine. This was against the huge women's football organisation who play under the name of Chatham Town. This game finished 2-2, which means the O's girls remain top, but only just. That battle will run to the final day of the season when the two top sides of Leighton Orient and Kings Hill will face off. So good luck to all of you in that squad.
Yeah, we will surely update you on that one as it happens. All right, Sunday the 31st of March, which was Easter Sunday, we'll say congratulations to the O's under-12s who won the FC Emmen Easter tournament without losing a game throughout the entire tournament. Well done to the young under-12s. Love to see it. Well done. I think they, was it them who were parading around the
probably
pitch? Yeah, well done to the under-12s. Some nice little results there, and some good little footballers making
in the making. Name, yeah. Absolutely. The ladies were in action away at Tooting Beck. Game was a thriller as the O's went behind in the 10th minute and went in a goal down at half time.
Yeah, second half was a bit mental, this one. 50th minute, we equalised as Bates played a lovely ball over the top into the path of Cabo, who fired past their keeper to make it 1-1. But the O's then went and conceded 2 goals in 2 minutes. We went 3-1 down after 64 minutes, leaving us a mountain to climb.
However, we pulled a goal back in the 68th as the duo that got the first goal got our second, with the roles reversed as Cabo whipped in a cross into Bates to anticipate the keeper's fumble and fired into the net to make it 3-2. We equalised in the 79th minute as Almeida rose highest from a corner, delivered a powerful header into the bottom corner to make it 3-3.
Yeah, that's how the game stayed until the 93rd minute as Jenks Lannan won the ball high up the pitch. She slid Cabo in. She took a touch, blasted it into the far corner to make it 4-3 with a last minute goal as the O's won the game 4-3. Love to see it. Well done to the ladies there on a terrific result.
Indeed, congratulations to you. Monday, the 1st of April, April Fool's Day, but the main event of that was Peterborough United at home. The team was announced at 2 o'clock, Brin in goal as usual, James, Beckles, Cooper and Sweeney with a back four, Brown and Galbraith in the middle with a front three of Moncur, Ford, Moncur and O'Neill and Adu Ajay running the line up top. Subs for this were Howes, Hunt, Sanders, Aggie, Sotiriou, Piggott, and Keon Edwards.
All right, that meant there were a few changes for those for the side who started against Lincoln. No Dan Prattley in the squad, as well as no Idris El-Mazouni. He obviously picked up a booking in the game we just spoken about. Whilst in came George Moncur, Jaden Sweeney, and Dan Adu Aji, who made his starting debut as we also too dropped to the bench.
Yeah, Idris was injured.
Yes, just so that.
You said booking.
I said what, sorry?
Booking.
Oh, did I?
Yeah,
he was injured. Dan Adji back from his injury and took his place on the bench while former O's midfielder Hector Kyprianou started for our opponents.
Unless I completely misheard you, I thought you said he picked up a booking in his last game.
Fine. All right, let's go.
Let's go.
Your views.
Yeah, lots of changes to that starting lineup, like lots. I thought all very capable, mind. It'd be good to see Sweeney, I feel, for Rob Hunt, though. I'm a big fan of Rob Hunt. I think I might be in a minority. I think he's a good fullback. He likes to get forward. I quite like that about him. Not sure I'd start Adu Ajay for this one, though. Not sure what the thinking was behind that, especially when you've got Pigger on the bench. Not, you know, good to see Aggie back, but obviously he's not ready for this. You know, even though Pigger hasn't had like the best of seasons, you know, against the big Peterborough side, I'd still be inclined to give him the nod over Adu Ajay, but you know I don't get paid to do that, so that's completely up to Richie. And obviously, like I say, it's good to have Dan Aggie back as well. For you, I've just seen your note.
I was running around Butlins in Bognor Regis having a time of my life, and I saw the 2 o'clock tweet, and I saw Adu Ajay up front, and I was a bit flummoxed. I must say, I didn't get it. I don't understand it, and I don't think. Unless I missed it in post-match, I don't think Richie explained his thinking behind it either. Although he might have done, I can't remember the interview. But I just looked at that and I thought, what on earth is going on here? He's a lone player, starting above Sotiriou, and then starting above Joe Piggott as well. Like you said, Joe Piggott has had a pretty poor season by everyone's standard. Massive disappointment. But look, we know we're not going playoffs now. Surely you start him now, especially in a game like this, and try and build his confidence going into the next season. Even if one goes in off his shoulder, off his butt cheek, doesn't matter, just as long as it goes in. I know Peterborough are a good team, one of the teams you'd expect to be favourites and are up there and will make the playoffs, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
However, I don't understand why you'd play an experienced 19, 20-year-old, give him his debut in this game against one of the most difficult sides, especially, like I said, over Sotiriou. I was very surprised by that. Good to see Adji on the bench. I thought we'd see Adji on the bench sooner rather than later. From mentioned that in the last podcast.
Yeah.
That'd been on 3 weeks ago. I mean, Charlie Pegram's just signed a 2.5 deal with us, right? He's not on loan anywhere, unless we've missed it. But I don't think we've sent him out on loan. He's at the club training. Surely you put Pegram in now. Surely you go, right, Edwards, thank you.
Yeah.
But no thank you.
Yeah.
Adu Ajay, thank you. No thank you. Surely now you push on your squad players, or like I said, you try and get Pigger ready in a mindset to go again next season and hope he can get a goal or two to push him into next season and confident. We've done exactly the same with Paul Smith, where he had a terrible start in his first 6 months of his own career. Richie come in, built up his confidence, he finished that season really strongly and then took it straight into the following season and he was ready. Surely must be the thinking with Piggott, right? Mm. Well, that's what you'd expect.
Yeah,
so
you think so, right?
I was really surprised when I saw that.
I don't understand it either.
I was really surprised when I saw that. Other than that, not too many surprises within there. But yeah, I just thought, I can't see how we're really going to trouble this defence with Adu Ajay leading the line, really.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of tweets, though, when that team was announced.
Quite a few, actually. Better Later Never said, looks like Prats is injured. I'm worried we'll miss his experience and not to mention his energy.
Yeah, good point. Now, Rainbow Sailor said, a strong team given all our injuries. Great choices on the bench. Awesome Dan Ajay is back. And could today be Piggott's hat trick?
No. Gorillas 1985. People laughed at me 2 weeks ago when I suggested Aggie would be on the bench today. He's bound to get the winner now.
Paul Redrum. So a very attack-minded team today, which I like. But we will miss El Miss in midfield. And the midfield might be a bit light, but at least we have a bit of width now with O'Neill back. Come on, you O's.
Yeah, so the match kicked off in a chilly and sunny E10 with the O's looking to go...
I think that's end.
To end the season, strongly against the Peterborough team, almost certain of a playoff place and looking to bounce back from their shock 3-1 home defeat to Carlisle on Good Monday.
All right.
On Good Friday, sorry.
Let's do it again. Going to cover this one fairly briefly. A superb interception of a crossfield pass by Jaden Sweeney. Saw a shot deflect out for our first corner of the game in the second minute.
Yeah, 3 minutes later, penalty appeals from the O's were waved away by the referee after a handball was called for in the Peterborough box.
All right, in the 8th minute, the Posh took the lead after a cross on the left was mishandled by Sol Bruin. The ball fell into the path of Hector Kiprianu and he easily tapped in from around 10 yards out to score against his former club to make it 1-0 to the visitors.
I mean, other than to state the obvious, Sol Bruin should have caught that. Not much else to say there. And that's the problem. When you're in goal, you make one mistake, 9 times out of 10 it leads to a goal.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's the problem. You make one up top, it doesn't, or in the middle, there's phase of recovery. You make one there, it just drops it, it just miscatches it and it just falls in.
Yeah, horrific, I would say.
Yeah.
Family show though, so I can't say anything too.
It was poor, but it'll know it's poor.
Oh, absolutely. All right, so 1-0 down. Hector, to be fair, didn't really celebrate. Really, he runs off.
I mean, he celebrates in a kind of calm way.
Yeah,
so that, but that's fine. Like, he's been our player for a couple of years now, so like, it is what it is. But yeah, I appreciate the respect that he's shown us. Yeah.
In the 18th minute, absolutely outstanding sliding challenge inside our box from Jaden Sweeney as he denied Mason Clark, who had been played in and was about to pull the trigger.
That was absolutely superbly timed. You could have really given a penalty away there. That is a brilliant, brilliant piece of defending there. From Jaden, and the referee had been given lots of sort of cheap free kicks. It's like someone goes down with the faintest of touches, referee blows his whistle. The guy trips over his shadow, referee blows the whistle. It's that kind of referee that we had. 22 minutes on the clock, free kick was awarded to Peterborough about 25 yards out. Nothing came of it. Yeah. Cheap free kick to award again, another one.
All right, 25th minute in, the lead was doubled for Peterborough. Short corner move, saw an Ajiboye cross, headed back across goal by Knight. Went across Sol Bruin, and Mason Clark somehow stooped to get the ball over the line from close range with the back of his head. Made it 2-0.
Not sure, I should have seen that back. It's just prompted me. I'm not sure if that was offside. At the time, I thought it looked like he was offside. I mean, obviously it didn't get offside, didn't get flagged for offside, but he was literally, his head was like millimetres off the line when he's headed it in. So he's on the floor. I don't know how he's come to be on the floor. Like he's fallen over or something in some sort of comical way. He's fallen over, the ball's gone to line, and it's kind of like hit his head, and he's just like extended his neck a bit and just pushed it into the goal. To me, that looked like he would have been offside for that. But again, obviously it wasn't given, and there's no point crying over spilt milk. It's the goal stood.
It certainly did. I mean, he's a great player. They're going to miss him next season. I mean, obviously, you guys, it's gone to commentary. So Coventry have signed him, they've just signed him back to the end of the season. He's going to be a big player.
Yeah.
Again, another championship ready player for them. But to be two down after 25 minutes, I think shows you kind of how this game was going to go. Right, we've got nothing else to say about the first half other than 2 additional minutes were played. And in the first minute, Steer made his first save of the game from an Ethan Galbraith shot as the half time was won shortly after with our visitors 2-0 up.
Yeah, 8,758 was the official attendance with 1,194 packed into the away end. Not our best half of football, as far as I'm concerned. I thought Sweeney, O'Neill and Galbraith had been good. Ford looks like he asked... Ford was poor.
All right.
Ford looked disinterested. The kind of guy that looked like he'd put in a holiday request at work for Easter Monday and HR said, no, sorry, you can't have that day off. And he just couldn't be less fussed.
Really? Okay, that's surprising.
Really surprising. I don't know whether he wasn't well, whether he was just a bit injured or whatever. I don't know. But the lack of running, the lack of tracking, the lack of making himself available just wasn't the best I've seen of Shaq Ford.
All right, interesting. A few tweets came in at half time. PF01066. With the exception of Jaden Sweeney, this has been absolutely shocking. Peterborough, nothing special.
Yeah.
But they don't have to be.
Spot on. absolutely spot on. They weren't anything special, and they didn't have to be. We literally gifted them two goals. Kid Samson O said, some excellent on the beach performances so far. Ford and Moncur particularly culpable, but you could pick anyone not to name Ethan Galbraith, and you'd probably be right. Hopefully, some of them will now show a modicum of professional pride in the second half. Great tweet.
All right. Okay, triple sub for the O's at halftime. I guess you could probably tell by that. Yep. Richie, less than happy. Shaq Ford came off, was replaced by Robson Tuohy. Dan Aduadre was replaced by Joe Piggott. And Tom James came off, was replaced by Tom.
Yeah, wasn't very good either. Wasn't one of his better games.
All right, again, yep. Some big subs there. All right, let's go into the 46-minute
rule. Probably people that should have started the game in the first place.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you for two out of those three. Rules Tuohy looked to make an instant impact. He took on a couple of defenders in the area. His left-footed strike was blocked.
Yeah, 10 minutes later, the fourth sub for the O's, Richard Sealyenough, George Moncur came on. He was replaced by Max Sanders.
All right, XO Kipriani was at it again in the 59th minute. He had a curling effort wide from the edge of our box following a counter-attack.
65th minute, we pulled a goal back after Jaden Sweeney ran down the left, played a smart 1-2 with Ollie O'Neill, and his cross was expertly side-footed home by Ethan Galbraith to make it 2-1 and get us back in the game. Superb goal.
Really good
superb
goal.
Superb technique from him as well.
Really good finish. I mean, April's goal of the month already looks like it's going to be very difficult. Got that goal and he got all three from yesterday that we obviously talked about. Later, that's going
four,
to be
that's all four nominees.
That's going to be a difficult goal of the month to
that
decide.
Is a great shout,
great take from Ethan Galbraith. Great cross as well. Love to see it. All right, so at that point, only one goal behind, about half hour left to play, give or take. Still in it in the 69th minute. Jones robbed Omar Beckles, race cleared down the left. His shot was kept out by legs of Bryn, and Ajibaye blazed over with the rebound from a tight angle. Beckles, always something in that Omar Beckles. Too casual, too cool, lost out, should have been 3-1.
Yeah.
Very lucky there, Omar. Very lucky.
Again. Ruel Soteri was booked for a foul in the 70th minute.
In the 78th minute, the O's went so close to an equaliser as Jed Steer made a great save as he turned away. And Ethan Galbraith shot that took a massive deflection on its way in, and it was going in. Somehow the keeper tipped it over. Unlucky there from the O's.
Yeah, that Jed Steer was playing for Aston Villa a couple of years ago. I don't know how he's like ended up being at Peterborough. In League One,
okay.
Or mind you, maybe sign for them in the Championship. However, fifth and final sub for the O's, Ollie O'Neill made way for the super Dan Agge in the 82nd minute.
Yeah, the returning Dan Agge in the 88th minute. He had a chance. He was unmarked from very close range as Max Sanders sent in the corner, and Agge was there, headed it over.
Yeah, free header, alone in the box, jumps up, just sort of. He's looking over the bar and the ball goes over the bar, so you can really tell that wasn't going to hit the target.
I think a fully alert and fully fit Agge, who's played like a lot of football, scores that without even thinking about it. But yeah, I think at that point we all knew that was how it was gone. And all I will say, if that's Joe Piggott who misses that chance, all the tweets post-match will be about that miss.
Slaughtered.
He would be absolutely demonised. All right, 4 minutes of additional time went up on the board. No major talking points in those 4 minutes, unfortunately, as the match ended with the O's falling to a 2-1 defeat to make it a miserable Easter weekend for the Orient with two matches and two defeats.
Indeed. So that defeat, though, means that we will stay in 10th place in League One. We've now played 41 games, 16 of those were wins, 10 were draws, 15 are losses, 58 points on the table and a goal difference of -2. And obviously Richie's interview is on the club's YouTube channels and on their social media, so you can go and check that out there.
He did make me laugh when he praised Peterborough. He said when they won, they just went and clapped their fans and then walked off the pitch and didn't celebrate too much. He was like, every time other clubs have beaten us here, they do like the fold fist pumps, and he thinks that it's like embarrassing. So Peterborough,
totally
well-drilled unit, don't want to have to do, clap their fans, then make their way off.
Not a good deal
for them to be. I thought Richie was quite
very
made
point.
A few good points. All right, Mr. Levy, you were there, I wasn't. Let's have your views on the match.
Yeah, look, I thought we did well at times. I thought much improved in the second half with our press, better decision making and forward passing. Two poor goals we've conceded. Sol Brin's been punished for not catching, and we didn't defend well enough to prevent the second goal, to be perfectly honest. Despite two easy goals, they looked good value at times and played some nice stuff. I thought there was one particular passing move that they got around us and moved it up the pitch superbly well. They've got good defenders who can play out from the back, which I think is really important. And I listened to Jack Simpson's pre-match interview on Friday and about him being a ball-playing centre-back as well. And I think that at this level and the type of football that Richie wants to play, I think that those sorts of players are going to be very well needed. Thought Sweeney was excellent today. I thought Hunt came on. I thought he did okay. Gabraith, absolute standout to our point earlier. Yeah, championship ready player.
Yeah.
Head and shoulders above everyone else. Absolutely superb. Brown didn't do too badly either, I didn't think. And I thought it was the right decision to take Shaq Ford off at half time. Terrible, arguably for me, his worst performance so far. No big deal. It's his first proper season in this league. He's done very well, acquitted himself very well. Also, hoped more from George Moncur as well. I thought an experienced player playing against a ball playing side.
And one of his former clubs.
Would do much better.
Good point.
I honestly thought he would. When like meets like, I thought that he would kind of gel into the game and dictate, and you know, but he didn't.
All right. I mean, my views are tiny because I thought I wasn't going to be doing this match. So literally, shocking goals to concede. Like first one, Bryn, he catches that ball 99 times out of 100.
Yeah,
it's a freak. But you know, it falls to the wrong player for them to fall to, and they score. Second one's just poor defending. Yeah. I think you can't really defend like that. Mentioned the selection of the team, it was wrong. In our eyes, it was wrong. Obviously, in Richie's eyes, it was right. I thought it was very questionable. I will say, in that post-match interview, I think if anyone hasn't seen it, it's worth watching because that's the most critical I've seen Richie Wellens be of his team. In terms of he literally says we don't have any centre forwards who can finish, and we dilly dally too much, and we don't get the ball to a centre forward.
Five or six passes, yeah.
And I thought, well, you have a centre forward because you've put someone into that position who's a centre forward. So I thought it was quite an interesting point he was making. I couldn't work out who he was being critical of, whether it was aimed at players or people above him. I couldn't work out what the point he was trying to make or to whom at points where he was trying to take the interview. It was an interesting one, I thought. But yeah, my views, nice and short on that one. Didn't go. I've got no desire to go back and watch the extended highlights of that, having seen the goals. But look, on another day, Adji scores that and we're going, great point to come back from two down.
Yeah.
But again, like I say, if Piggott misses that chance, all our tweets will be about how bad Piggott is.
Yeah.
So,
but also Solbrin doesn't drop that for the second for the first goal. They don't necessarily get the second.
Tiny margins. Yeah. Alright, let's do it. First tweet followed from full time to us was Poplar 32. So disappointed. There's several players today showed little interest. Winters, Hire, like Moncur, Ford and Piggott. Gabraith was outstanding and needs to stick in midfield. I'm just hoping we can pick up a couple more wins before the end of the season, and we need to lose the Deadwood ASAP.
Mark Ross, 63689509. See, that was a very flattering 2-1. It should have been 5 or 6. We never laid a glove on them, and Hector ran the midfield. That is also a really good point. Hector did. He was superb.
I mean, they turned down a reportedly £3 million bid for Hector. I imagine if they've turned down £3 million, they're going to get an increased offer in the summer. You're looking at about £4 or £5 million to probably get him out of there now.
Yeah.
And we do have a sell-on fee, don't we? There is some kind of sell-on the fee. So, I mean, that again, the fact that if Hector goes and we get a sell-on fee, that could be the difference between getting someone like Idris in or someone not as good, or maybe getting someone better.
Yeah, but... That said, if they get to the championship next season and Hector's playing regular championship football, will he want to move?
Well, possibly. Not to say that club who put a bid or be a base championship club, who now have got
aspirations to be in the Prem.
Interesting.
Absolutely.
But again, if he goes for $5 million and you've got, I can't remember 20%. What it's, if it's 20% of a $5 million
we've paid. Which is £1 million.
That's a
and then less what they've paid us, which was about 200-300 grand. So 700 grand that will come to us.
Decent.
Over however many seasons, I don't know how that side of things work. Yeah, absolutely.
Decent.
Yes, Samuel OC97.
Yeah, you want to say difference was both boxes story this season, really. They had their best forward players fit, and ours were all injured and coming back. Second half performance wasn't terrible. Change in the press and a bit of work ethic helped. Galbraith, Sweeney, overall, both had decent games.
Yeah, just realised, I didn't finish Mark's tweet. He went finished by saying, toothless in there without Idris and Prattley, and we won't have either next season.
Yeah,
potentially. Dan Orton, 2590, said, no qualms about the result. The right team won. They were by far and away the better side and should have been out of sight by the break. Improved the second half in the second half, but you felt they could have scored again at any point. Scary that in 2024, that's not a bad ref. That's the norm. That's quite scary. If I'm not mistaken, if I remember rightly, it was the guy who was the first South Asian referee in the Premier League who refereed at Palace a couple of weeks ago.
All right.
So Premier League referee, effectively.
Yeah. All right, Pandemonium, 1881. So today's game showed us exactly where we need to aspire to be. They soaked up 15, 20 minutes of decent football, got a little bit of luck and showed their quality going forward. And after that, comfortable on the ball with some very good League One experience. We gave it a go in the second half. And if it hadn't been for an unfortunate goalkeeping mistake, we had a bit more about us in the final third, we'd have got a point.
Yeah.
All about learning and improving, but we are on the right track.
Dear Stu said, first 20 minutes, we looked okay despite being a goal down. Should have had a penalty for a handball. Shaq looked completely disinterested. Second half, gave it a go. With better final balls, could have nicked a point. Take a bow, Ethan. Superb. Swings was okay.
Gary Talbot, 7. So Richie Wenders knows exactly what we need, and several who started that game won't be what he needs. An awful start and what is looking a very poor end, bookended by a decent middle season, has kept us afloat.
Yeah, the tipping team said the results are irrelevant, but once again it shows how much we struggle without Elmiz. They absolutely killed our midfield and it should have been 5 or 6. Superb Elmiz is dragging up a few players who will struggle in his absence, and that doesn't bode well for next season.
Les OK 52 said that performance from Ethan is one of the best individual performances I've seen in ages, but sadly he can't do it all on his own. If we were building for next season, we could do worse, and to build it all around him, that boy has got real quality.
Indeed. David Sears 3 said, Brin needs to be binned off. He's done well, but won't be here next season. The mistake in the first half was shocking, and Howes needs to be given a chance now, as we have nothing to play for. It's a good point in terms of Howes being started for the last few games of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sal Brin's going to help quite a lot, I think, in post-match for Chelsea. So I guess we'll come back to him, but if he's rotating pretty much everywhere else other than keeper, and again, Brin isn't an Orient player, and he's already gone and said we can't afford to sign Sol Brin for the money Billsborough wants, so it's not a bad point there at all. Matty LFC Evans said, two moments showcased Orient this season: Brin's mistake for their goal and then Gale Brave's goal. Next season we go again. A Dan Adjie cameo wasn't something I was expecting, but we need to get him sharp for the pre-season next season. It's been a solid season and no need for any meltdowns.
Yeah, D. Johns 1998 said, the majority of the team are on holiday. I think we have a few players to move on and some key places that need rectifying. Ford looks knackered. O'Neill started with dribbling past everyone, and now all he does is pass the ball backwards. That's a really interesting point, because when he did come, what got us out of our seats and really excited was about him was that he would take players on.
Yeah.
Now he's cutting back. It's almost like we've coached that out of him, that rawness that you just love to see out of him, which is, I think, what's potentially made me think that actually maybe he's not that, you know, championship ready yet. And I think that's probably playing into my thought process there. He does. He cuts back and passes it backwards. Terrible football from us in the first half, just to finish that tweet.
The untold games. I'm still very happy with a Brown, Galbraith, Sanders future at midfield. I think Galbraith can do Elmis's job wonderfully. What he might not do that Elmis does is everyone else's job too. Cleaning up mistakes and making everyone else look 20% better.
Amish, great tweet. Amish Mo said, 2-1 flattered us. Much better from us in the second half, although Peterborough took their foot off the gas. I'd like to think that we would have given them a better run for their money if Graham, Archibald and Elmiz were available and Aggie was fully fit. Absolutely. Different game.
Absolutely, yeah. I agree with that. Gould Howard, penultimate tweet this one, says, I would say Peterborough are where we would like to be, including our first choice missing players, and we are not far off that. It's a compliment to players and staff that we're disappointed with a great league position and our first season back at this level. And so, bodes well for next season. Good point.
Yeah, indeed it does. Sunshine LOFC got the final word this week. Said, overall, the better team won today. No two ways about that. However, it was a much improved second half performance and Aggie could have nicked a leveler late on. There is much to be optimistic about for 24-25 up the O's.
Great stuff there. All right, prediction league. You had a few more successful predictions. This one, Dave Brew, 4-7-9-7-6-9-1-1. And Till and E, Theo the Wyvern, Mr. JG Essex, Rob JB 1974, Record Blew Up, and Orient Rob all predicted 2-1 to our visitors. No one got the bonus point, so you all got 3 points, and we'll round up British League at the end of this episode.
Yep, so that wraps up Peterborough and Lincoln's. That's Easter weekend done. So the last 7 days, Tuesday, or 5 days as it is really, Tuesday the 2nd of April, nothing to report, so let's move on.
Let's do that. Wednesday the 3rd of April, another birthday at the club, this time to O's assistant manager, Paul Terry. Hope you had a lovely day, Paul, and had a good one.
Yeah, indeedy. The club announced that both Retro Day and the O-Nuts will be making a welcome return for the forthcoming match against Cheltenham Town.
Who doesn't love Retro Day? I guess we'll start at Retro Day. So you were wearing your Rainham Steel blue shirt with your
autograph. Yeah. That was the Hartlepool home kit that season.
I remember, yeah.
I remember that.
And you had it fully signed, right?
So yeah, I don't remember how I got it fully signed or where I got it fully signed, but I got it fully signed.
I was wearing,
I think I must have won it.
My 92-93 independent transfer that I bought as a fantastic 12-year-old boy.
Imagine though, you were 12 wearing that.
I know. Well, my mum made me buy like large. And I must have been like very small. She did. She absolutely did. Yeah. I always love wearing that t-shirt. All right. We announced Retro Day. That obviously happened. That was great. Everyone wearing retro shirts. What happened to the donuts?
Where are the donuts?
Mr. Devlin, you promised us donuts.
Yeah.
Where were they?
What happened?
Honestly, though, what actually happened to the donuts? I've heard rumours. I'm not going to speculate what the rumours were. I just want to know what happened to the donuts. Let us know what happened, because we're all looking forward to them. Yeah. Very, very
disappointed. Suspicious. Not to get my donut.
Maybe someone ate them. Maybe someone got into them and ate them and they sold out. All right. Also, announcing a bit of happy news, the club secretary, Lindsay Martin, has been nominated for the EFL Club Employee Award, with the ceremony taking place in a week's time, on Sunday, the 14th of April. If anyone deserves any kind of award, it's Lindsay. We wish her well. She's obviously up against people who do just as great jobs as her at their significant clubs as well. So I think all those people are massive winners. It'd be lovely to see Lindsay get rewarded. Fingers crossed she does. But if not, what a compliment to be kind of nominated for that award. Either way.
Absolutely spot on. Thursday, the 4th of April, another birthday. This time, happy birthday to Leighton Orient SLO, Robbie Minchin. We hope you had a great day as well, mate.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, Friday, the 5th of April, quiet day at the club. Nothing else to report. Let's go for it. Saturday, the 6th of April.
Yeah, the youth team were in action against AFC Wimbledon, and we took the lead in the 23rd minute thanks to an own goal. We went 2-0 up in the 39th minute when Abdi Mohamed scored. The Dons pulled a goal back on the stroke at half-time and then equalised in the 53rd minute before taking a 3-2 lead in the 74th minute and adding a fourth in the 93rd minute. And to cap a miserable day, Chinedo was shown a red card in the 95th minute as the Young O's lost 4-2. So unlucky to you.
That is the first time I've lost in ages.
Absolutely.
From I can't remember talking about an Orient youth defeat in a long time. All right, Cheltenham Town at home was the main event on Saturday. And as always, before the game, we ran our Twitter poll again to find out how you thought the odds were getting this one. We had 202 votes, with you voting with 11% of you thinking the odds would lose. So a minority there thinking we'd lose. 15% thinking we'd draw. So again, not many of you thinking we'd draw, with a huge, overwhelming, whopping majority. 74% of you thinking the O's would win. As always, thanks to everyone who voted in our Twitter poll.
Indeed. Lower numbers than we've experienced this season so far, but thanks to all of you who did vote. The team was announced at 2 o'clock. Sol Brin as standard in goal. Galbraith, Beckles, Cooper, James, Brown, Obiero, Moncur, O'Neill, Sotiriou and Edwards completing the starting 11. Substitutes for this one were Howes, Hunt, Simpson, Sanders, Ford, Aggie and Pigger.
All right, that meant there were three changes from the team. We started against Peterborough. As in came Zek, Obiero, Rubs to you, and Kylan Edwards, with Shaq Ford dropping to the bench. As Dan Aduadje and Jaden Sweeney dropped out of the squad completely. And Jack Simpson, who we spoke about at the beginning of this podcast, making the bench following the end of his suspension. So first time he's been available.
Yep.
He obviously done that the pre-match interview on the club's YouTube channel, which went out on the Friday, spoke very well, spoke about how he's been out in the community. I guess a bit of the forgotten man. Obviously, we signed him about 2 months ago. A lot of controversy around that signing, as you would suspect and as you would understand. The club's done a lot to kind of repair, kind of not the damage that's been done, but I'd say to kind of get people onside around that. So an interesting selection there. Bit of legende, what were your views at 2 o'clock when you saw that team?
Yeah, I'm a bit surprised Rob Hunt isn't playing, as I may have mentioned once or twice. I'm a big fan. But then, and Galbraith perhaps moved further forward. I think the guy's done well in the last game.
Rob Hunt,
done well enough. He's certainly no worse than anyone else. And as a natural right back, why not have him in and then release Galbraith to play further forward?
If anyone else wants to join the Rob Hunt fan club, email us at orientoutlook@outlook.com.
I'll give you a membership card and everything.
Title your email, Rob Hunt Appreciation Society. Mark it for Mr. Bearded Legende and we'll get you your card in no time.
Absolutely. Lots of other goodies as well. Good to see Zach Obiero, Charles. Yeah. I really hope he does well. That was such a standout name on the team sheet for me today. Such a nice guy. I had a chat with him. I think he lives just up the road in Hainault here. So I got the train home randomly once and he got off at Hainault.
Oh, really?
And he was walking down the steps of Hamer Station, so I had a quick chat with him. Such a nice guy as well. Edwards hadn't done as well as I'd hoped in past games, but hopefully he'll do well up top today, given his chance with Ruel because I thought that Richie had maybe tinkered with the side and he'd gone 4-1-3-2.
With tactics, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he tweaked it a bit, but that wasn't the case. Where's Jaden?
I don't know.
Chris, who sits behind us, said that he'd done a fitness test on the pitch before, so maybe he'd taken a knock in training or something.
Dave Victor asked Richie, and Richie didn't like the question. Shot it down.
Have I not listened to that yet? Did he really?
Yeah. Didn't like the question. Okay. Basically, there's like not much else to say. Like, Richie kind of knocked back the question.
Why?
Didn't really answer it.
Okay. I thought Simpson might get his first start. Now he's able to play to give Omar a rest, or maybe even Brandon a rest, but that wasn't the case to be.
Yeah, I mean, some big calls in there. Again, starting Edwards, like you said, not done as well as what we'd like them to do. To have Adu Adjei starting as your nine, and then to have him completely out of squad.
Yeah.
And the same as Sweeney. Probably tells me what I need to know about Adu Adjei. Like, we didn't mention him in terms of anything he'd done in that 45 minutes.
No.
Sweeney, though, on the other hand, is a bit more surprising given that
We
mentioned it. Obviously, I wasn't at the game, but a lot of people said Sweeney seemed to do it okay.
Very well.
In his back position. And to see him not in the squad, probably a bit of a surprise there. Some big, big opportunities at Obiero. I think was on loan to a National League South side about 2 months ago. So to see him start in a League One game,
yeah,
quite surprising. I expect to see him on the bench, maybe. Yeah. Didn't expect to see him start.
Yeah.
But if he deserves it, then fair play to him. No surprise to see Simpson on the bench. Obviously, I thought he would feature at some point. Obviously, we've only got 2 fit centre-backs, so I knew he would make the bench after his suspension. So I thought we might see him play. Obviously, we'll talk about the game as it happened. But again, got Piggott sitting there on the bench, and you're playing Edwards ahead of him. Come on, I'm not Piggott's biggest fan, but I still think we need to get him in gear for next season to get him ready and to get, like I said, that confidence up.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really, really important for us. All right, lots of tweets coming when that team was announced. James O'Hagan said, clearly in the quote-unquote experimental phase of the season, keen to see Edwards and Obiero prove their points. Surprised Simpson hasn't started. Adji, hopefully, should get at least half an hour. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Sonny M222 said, why is Galbraith at right-back after that performance the other day?
Yeah, good point. David Carroll once said, Richie, promise changes and great to see Zek getting a chance. This probably is Caelan's last chance to impress. And no Sweeney in the squad, kind of with the thinking.
Len Chin Chin one said, end of season games are always difficult as every team is wanting points. Cheltenham will not be easy as they need to get out of the relegation zone. The O's must dictate the pace and give respect, defend well, see the game as a cup final, play a clinical, concentrated effort to win.
Always love Len Chin Chin's pre-match tweets. All right, Cheltenham got the match underway in a warm and windy Brisbane Road as the O's were looking to recover from back-to-back defeats against our visitors who were looking for points to get out of the relegation place. I mean, considering they didn't score a goal in their first 10 games and they haven't been relegated yet, it's some achievement by them and they are taking
it's true
to the last couple of weekends. All right, let's do it. Cheltenham, I think it's fair to say, started better. Came close to opening and scoring in the 8th minute after Freestone putting across, it wasn't dealt with. Lloyd beat Omar Beckles to the ball, but his touch went just wide of the far post.
Bit of a wake-up call for us, but Beckles in particular, because you can't be so nonchalant or so laid back in the box. Just doesn't work that way. First corner of the game came in the 15th minute after some nifty footwork from Ruel. Sent his defender to the ground to win a corner from which Tom James's fierce shot was then blocked.
All right, we're going to fast forward now to the 33rd minute. We took the lead with some nice passing and movement. Eventually saw Edwards bring the ball down well inside the box. He played Ollie O'Neill, who then passed on to George Moncur, who was at the edge of the box. He played a pass to Ethan Galbraith, who fired into the top corner from a good 25 yards out to make it 1-0 and to score his second goal in successive games.
That's a superb strike. Great, great finish.
I think the keeper should do better there. And Richie said the
bit
same.
Bit of a rocket.
Richie said the same.
Really?
Have you seen it back?
Yeah.
He kind of gets his hands to it, which aren't strong enough. I think Jed Steer probably tips that over the bar
Maybe. Yeah, I was going to say, I think you're being a bit harsh on the guy because it was a great strike.
It's a good strike, but their keeper will be disappointed. You can see how disappointed their keeper is.
Yeah.
Like in his reaction, kind of like puts his hand to his face a little bit for like the first 2 seconds. Should have done better. But
you don't expect him to save it, to be fair, because that is a decent strike. But you're right, you've got a hand to it, so he'd be disappointed.
I think a better keeper saves it. But don't take everything away from Ethan Galbraith.
Yeah.
Well drilled into the top bins. All right, 1-0. 2 minutes later, and he has one on top now. Rusiatero did well. He took a shot from close range, which got spilled out but we couldn't capitalise on
it. Yeah, the O's almost doubled the lead in the 39th minute. Ruel again had an effort saved by Southwood. O'Neill's rebound was then blocked, and then Edwards couldn't get on the end of a ball of the ball that had curled up into the air. It was just a little bit too awkward for him, but he did try. He couldn't get on the end of that deflection.
Yeah, I mean, look, Edwards is running his heart out. He's trying his best. He just hadn't ultimately had any luck, you know. I think if he got one, he might have got two, but just not to be his day in that one. But we did double our lead in the 43rd minute, and lovely goal. It's Jordan Brown, outside of the boot pass, bounced back to him. Bit of luck there, a bit fortunate. Yeah. He passed Ollie O'Neill on the edge of the box. He took a touch, looked up, saw it on, and he put a spectacular curling effort into the far side of Freestone's goal to make it 2-0 to the O's.
What a goal. What a superb goal. Two beautiful goals in this game so far. It's only the first half. Absolutely superb. Take a bow. Nothing else to say about that.
Great goal.
Well, he's contender for goal of the month.
Knew exactly what he was doing. As soon as he takes that first touch, beautiful, looks up. No keeper. I said to Steve, oh, about a League One keeper saves a cow brace. No League One keeper. It's no keeper is saving that, I think, just because the way he's put it lovely, beautifully into the far corner. Yeah. Beautiful finish.
Good quality finish.
2-0. Love to see it from Ollie O'Neill. 4 additional minutes were played on without any major talking points, and we went in with a 2-goal lead at half time. Basically, thanks to 2 superb goals.
Indeed, I thought that was a decent half, and I think we're well deserving of our lead. I mean, 2 worldies, they've not really come and shown anything, to be honest with you. Should say that they should have anything out of this game so far, but it has taken 2 spectacular goals for us to go in.
I think at 0-0, they were the better team. I think I've got to be honest, they looked better than us, I think.
At times, yeah. Their 8-34 looked quite industrious.
But that once we went one up, they were done. Like, yeah.
7,804 packed into Brisbane Road. 489 of those were Cheltenham Town fans.
All right, let's move on. No changes for the O's at half time. In the 52nd minute, Jordan Brown booked for preventing Cheltenham from taking a quick free kick.
Cheap booking that. Yeah. Can't be doing that. Seconds later, though, Cheltenham almost pulled a goal back after Sol Brin misjudged the free kick. Davies looked to prod home, but Brin did enough to recover and prevent him from scoring.
Yeah, just about 58 minutes. Ethan Galbraith picked up a booking for taking too long to take a throw.
61st minute, our first sub of the day, as Omar Beckles made way for O's debutant Jack Simpson.
Yeah, so Simpson making his debut in, I think, his first match in a long time. His first competitive match since before August.
Yeah,
all right, 64th minute, Ollie O'Neill was booked for kicking a number 2 up the backside as he was breaking away.
It kicked him up in the air a little bit there, didn't he?
Blatant booking, but he had to do it. What had to be done, had to be done.
67th minute now. Sol Brin made a good save to deny Lloyd from scoring after a good counter from the visitors.
All right, 2 minutes later, double sub for the O's as Ollie O'Neill was replaced by Shaq Ford and Kyle Edwards was replaced by Dan Adjei. I mean, to bring on Ford and Adjei with 20 minutes left, it's pretty strong substitutions.
Yeah. If we're getting the Shaq Ford that wasn't at Peterborough. Yeah, absolutely right. 72nd minute, very close for Cheltenham, but their man just fired wide.
Don't know that one at all. 74th minute, Sol Brin had to be alert again. He made a save from Thomas, whose first shot was low, straight at that keeper.
So they're trying to get back into this game. That's the thing about Cheltenham, that they were trying to fight for the player, for their teammates and for their manager. So maybe they will be okay, but they've not got much longer to get that. Now, 76 minutes now, George Moncur was replaced by Max Sanders and Zach Obiero, who had done very well throughout this game. I know we've not really mentioned him much, but he did very well in this game. He was replaced by Rob Hunt.
Yeah, I think you could tell how well he'd done. They got a massive standing ovation from the crowd as he was walking off. Jack Simpson made a great block to deny Harrop's goalbound effort in the 78th minute. That was a fantastic block. I think that was going into
100%. Yeah, read that perfectly well. Take a bow though, Ruel Sotiriou, as his superb curling effort gave us our third goal of the match after Dan Agge's closing down of the defence saw the ball bobble out to Ruel, who from quite a fair way out, must be a good 25-30 yards, he hit the ball first time, which flew into the net to make a hat-trick of superb goals for the afternoon. And again, like I just said, what a goal, what a curler.
That's what makes Ruel so frustrating, right?
Correct.
Because he's missed far more easier chances than that, and he just looked up and just buried that into the corner. That was a beautiful finish.
Should the keeper do better there then, given it's further out and he's got longer to anticipate?
Arguably, you could say his positioning isn't amazing if you're being critical of the keeper, because he's not, no one thinks Will's going to take the shot, because he just absolutely smacked it, doesn't even look up for it. Great finish. You'll have to ask Simon Rice about that one, our goalkeeping coach.
Yeah.
The keeper should be doing better. But that really did seal the point. And in 7 minutes of additional time, went up on the board. And Cheltenham pulled a goal back in the 97th minute after Solbrin seemed to drop. This is difficult. I saw it back on the telly and I still can't make out if it hits the bar and his hand and he can't work out where he is or not. I need to see it back. I've not really done my homework enough on this one. Anyway, should have been Brennan Batter again. It looked like that anyway. Can't work out if he's dropped it or if it's hit the bar behind him. Ball comes out to Nuttall, who just taps it in to make it 3-1.
Brendan Cooper was there and probably could have done or should have done a bit better there as well. The blame probably does sit with Solbrin, but you're right, it does hit the bar, I think, and I think he does go up to catch it before it hits the bar, which is, I think, the mistake. That's where the mistake lies. But then him and Brandon Cooper are still there. They can still get the ball away, but their man, Brandon Cooper's goal side, but their man still gets the final touch that puts it in the back of the net. I mean, thank God that didn't actually make that much of a difference. It's just a shame we didn't keep a clean sheet. So nothing else really to report on this. The referee blew the full time whistle as the O's took the points, beating Cheltenham 3-1 at Brisbane Road to the sounds of Rocking All Over the World.
It certainly did. Richie Wellens' post match interview is up on the club's YouTube channel. You can find it there. Thanks to Dave for sending it all over. We would normally play it, but given that this has been an hour 20 podcast already, we aren't going to play it. But again, Richie speaks about the match and about a few other things, which is well worth a listen. All right, that win sees us stay in 10th place now in League One. We played 42. Only 4 matches left now, Bede Legende. We won at 17, drawn 10, lost 15 with a goal difference. We were so close to a +1 goal difference. Yeah. Goal difference of 0, but 61 points, which is a very welcome return. We are still mathematically in with a chance of a playoff place. I don't think we're going to get that. However, to still be in mathematically with 4 games left of a playoff place.
Crazy, isn't it?
Is unbelievable. So a massive well done to everyone involved at the club for that, because I think that's something that you have to applaud the club on. Alright, Mr. Levy, for the final time in this episode, give us your views on that match.
Short and sweet for me. I thought we played some nice stuff at times, but I didn't think it was really a 3-1 game, to be honest. I mean, it's 3 worlders that have got us the points today. I thought Town had a couple of good chances in the second half. Their players are still looking to fight for survival, but otherwise I didn't really think they offered us too much. I thought Obiero and Simpson did very well today. Obviously Simpson came on and did well when needed. There was one move where he got the ball nicked away from him, but he did well enough to recover it. So that's always good. Big question for me: Ethan Galbraith is so good. Can we keep him next season? Wherever he's been played, he stand out. Whether he's playing further forward,
right,
or whether he's playing at right back, whatever he's doing, whether he's the last man covering from a set piece routine, from a corner, he's the one. He's got pace on him. He reads the game well. He's got good feet. He runs with the ball. There's literally nothing the kid can't do. The question for me is, in the summer, is a Peterborough United, for example, the right club for him, you know, as a move? It would come in, bearing in mind that they might sell Hector on, right, and get £5 million. Would they give us £1 million for him, for example? Just again, there's no ulterior motive for this. I don't know anything. People might think that he knows something, but he doesn't. He's so standout. Like to our comment from the Lincoln game, he's just so standout that he's championship ready. It just blows my mind that we've got this guy at our club. He really does. I'm delighted to get the win after 2 losses. We're 10th. At this stage of the season, so it's all good with me. And I also noticed that there were three of the promoted teams from last season are around each other at this point of the season. Yeah, Stevenage above us, then us, and then Northampton. Obviously, Carlisle are the outer liers at the bottom of the table. So, you know, we've done good, the ones that come up last season.
We certainly have, yeah. I think for me, again, short and sweet for me, I was happy to be at this game, actually. It's the first game I've been at in this podcast that we're talking about. I thought it was closer than 3-1, but I think we just had that little bit more quality than what they did. But I think once we were 2 up, it was fairly straightforward, really. Great goals. I thought all the goals were taken really well. I think Ethan Galbraith, like we said, I thought he goes from strength to strength, whether you play him at right back or you play him central midfield. We've not seen a poor performance from him yet. I think the second half of the season he's really taken off. He's definitely improved. I remember Northampton, the way he made the mistake that led to the equaliser. I know a few question marks around him then. I think he's had a very, very good 2024 so far. and has really come on leaps and bounds. I think Zeke, I was quite surprised by Zeke Obrero. I thought he was more of an attacking player. My understanding was he was a winger attacking player. I was quite surprised to see him as one of the two kind of defensive liars. So I was quite impressed with him, and he's very young. And he's not that big. He's not physically, he's not very big. No. He doesn't look strong. He's obviously stronger than what he looks, because he put in an absolute shift yesterday. So very, very pleasantly surprised by Obrero, and maybe we'll see more of him in the last couple of games. I thought Simpson done well. And again, Simpson is a lot more physical than what I thought. I've only seen Simpson
big boy
sitting down and crying basically in his interviews, or being very emotional with him, which is what he's been. When you see him stand up, you think actually he's a unit, and he's not afraid to take a smack. I like defenders who aren't afraid to take a smack. Like when he made that block, he literally like put his body like in the way of it. I like defenders like that. Yeah. So we've seen defenders who don't necessarily do that all the time. So he looks like he could be a business. All right, Solbrin, let's talk about him. He's on loan, right? We're not signing Solbrin. We know we're not signing Solbrin. However, might we sign Solbrin again on loan next season? Been a few tweets maybe suggesting that could happen. Obviously, we've had El Miz 2 years in a row. Brin is still very young, nowhere near Middlesbrough's first choice. He's not going to go on loan to another championship club, because I don't think he's at that level, which means he goes back to a League One club probably next season. Could Solbrin come back to us? Possibly. However, I take on board, and there's a lot of tweets saying, why not start Howes in the next couple of games? If we're safe, and Howes is our player, and to be fair, by the time Brin came back from his injury, Howes had actually improved quite a lot, put in a few decent performances. So maybe is Howes worthy of a start? Basically, Dave Victor asked the same question to Richie. And again, Richie didn't like the question. Shot it down again, basically, in his post-match. It's worth listening to that interview if no one's listened to it. But I think I mentioned it earlier in the episode. Richie said in his post-match that he said to the team, next season starts now, before the Cheltenham Town game. And I think that's spot on. Let's win the rest of these games now, take the momentum into next season and start that, which is why I want to see players like Piggott try and get a goal to kind of put this horrible season for him behind him, which is why I'd rather he start than Edwards. And if you're going to bring Adji on for half hour or whatever, and give him that time. But I must say, I did love that with what Richie says, and I think Richie's probably a bit agitated that he knows this season that he's not going to be a winner. Like, that guy is a winner, that's his mentality, he wants to win all the time. And I think the fact that he's not going to make the playoffs, even though nobody expected him to make the playoffs, I think is hurting him quite a lot, and that's his motivation. And I think that's a great place to be at. So yeah, great day. I love retro day. Great goals.
Yeah, agree. Need more retro days, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very surprised they didn't put out a shirt to try and sell for retro day again. Obviously, they'd done a March poll one. Everyone bought one. The day that came out, literally every guy like around us was wearing it. Great. I'm amazed they didn't try and get another one out there for retro day.
Heat,
Comet Roofing, Independent Roofing, Transport, Braces, absolutely. The Hummel,
not
a
the
couple
braces.
Of Spall Kits. They could make a mint. I'm quite surprised. Quite surprised. I'm surprised also they didn't get that Hearts Friendly kit out, you know, the one I've spoken about a couple of times. Again, that's going to have a retro feel to it with the big chevron that you'd imagine. I'm surprised they didn't try and make more money out of that, because they probably would have made a mint doing that.
Yeah,
but I guess we'll see. Exciting times for the club. All right, those were our views for the last time in this episode. We're going to bring you your views, Orient Meat Pie. So the comfortable afternoon overall. I'm glad Davies missed this. Well, Davies is an Orient fan, isn't he? So he knows that he ain't going to score against Orient. He loves the O's. Missed the sitter, or it may have been closer. Sloppy at the end. Nice way to bounce back, though. You lovely O's.
I thought he was quite poor, Curtis Davies, actually.
I
thought he got shown up quite badly. Alan Rees, too. Good result, considering we all thought it would have an end-of-season feel to it. Seen enough of Simpson and Obiero to feel that two problems for next season are solved. Questions about Brin in the last two games, though, nearly cost us again today.
Do we bear to three great goals from outside the 18-yard area, but how many mistakes can Brin be allowed before Howes gets another chance? Obiero looks like a prospect. Edwards looks National League.
Stroud Greeno said, strange one, really, as we've played quite a bit better than that in other games, but lost. Three quality strikes make the difference. Might as well start Howes for the rest of the season, as I don't think we should even be contemplating re-signing Brin.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to come to it, but I think the big two positions for Orient now next season are number one and number four. I really think those. I think if you get those now, I think we could have a real good chance. If you get a real strong number one in and a real good number four, whether that's El Miz or someone of a higher calibre, I think we've got a real strong unit
Yeah,
I think those are the tight positions for me.
I would, you know, Lawrence Vigouroux's move hasn't worked out at Burnley. I'd love to think in some sort of fantasy that he's like, I wish I'd come back to Orient,
not
and sign a 2-year loan deal with us, see out his contract with Burnley, sign a two. This is all fantasy, obviously. Fantasy football, League One fantasy football is that Sol and that yeah, obviously Sol goes back to Middlesbrough and Burnley like, yeah, we don't really need you, Lulz. Orient want you. Do you want to go back and just cover whatever of his wages and be done with it, and we get him for 2 years and then sign him?
I've got a feeling he'll be Burnley number two next season.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. They're going to get relegated and they're going to have to sell a lot of players to make up their shortfall, I think. And he signed a 3-year deal there, so he's still got 2 years at the club.
Yeah.
They're not going to take that much of a hit on him, I don't think. I think he ends up getting closer to their starting position.
Okay.
Well, mate, there's nothing more I would love than Vigouroux to come back. I think never in a month for Sundays. But more unpredictable things have happened.
Absolutely, it's football.
Absolutely, you never know. Phil VZ1 said the new tactic of taking some shots at goal was a winner. 3 superb strikes, that's on our way. Great performance from Robbie Aero was the huge positive to take, because surely he must be a big contender for a midfield place next season. Felt for Sol at the end, though, as a clean sheet would have been the perfect tonic.
Daniel _ D44 said it's a bit like many of the games from last season. Played quite well, didn't create loads, but scored some worldies. Fantastic debut from Obiero. Great performance from Brown, Galbraith, O'Neill and Moncur. Also thought Simpson looked very good when he came on.
Yeah, good little round up there. Rich Den M. So I didn't have to work too hard, but a decent result. Zek was calm, confident and a really good performance. Edwards deserves credit for holding the ball up for the first goal. Yeah, he done well.
100% took the ball down really well. Nice touch. Theo Archibaldin said, everyone suddenly turning on Bryn when he's won us and kept us in so many games this season. Such short memories, honestly. Once he irons out his mistakes, he'll be world class. That's also a good balancing point.
It's a very good balancing point. I think, you know, he's had two tough games there, but bear in mind, he's played most of the 42 league games this season and made some good saves and kept an awful lot of clean sheets. There's nothing to be sniffed at. Derby, 5-0-7. It's a really strange game. Could have been 3-0 down after half hour, but two well-taken goals and we're going at half-time in cruise control. Second half was almost a carbon copy. Galbraith is the future. And well done to Simpson, who looked a very good player.
D. Rolf Doyle said, enjoyed some of those performances, Zach, Ollie and Ethan especially. I know everyone wants housing, but I don't see the point because it's not like he'll be our number one next season, and maybe even Richie wants Bryn for another year. Don't forget, he is only 22.
Good point. Patrick G, 3-1, put on my tweet, and this one said, I was impressed with Jack Simpson's cameo. From the North Stand, you can see and hear that he's a real leader and talker on the pitch.
Wow.
Good. Obviously,
we didn't get to know that.
Because Danny Averone, that's a really good point from Patrick. Composed on the ball, and he's huge, which for some reason I wasn't expecting. Yeah, he doesn't look. Obviously, we only see him sitting down in the interview.
Chest
up. Yeah, absolutely. Potentially a very good player for next season. Up the O's.
Final word goes to Painting Orient. Said it's been many a month since Cheltenham let in so many goals in League One. Then there seemed some extra bite with some increased competition for starting bursts, and some cracking goals resulted from several players who can continue to kick on and develop into next season.
All right, some outstanding tweets over the last three matches we've had. If you agree or disagree with any of the tweets we've read out or anything we've mentioned or talked about, you can let us know what you think by giving us a tweet at Orient Outlook. If you're not on Twitter, you can give us an email at orientoutlook@outlook.com. You can also find us on Instagram, @orient_outlook_podcast. So you can find us on Facebook if you'd like to, at Orient Outlook Podcast, and give our page a follow. So lots of ways to engage with us and keep up your communication with yourself, Stan Chums.
Indeed, you can. Saul Tyre prediction league update now. Gianluca Bo 3772 correctly predicted 3-1, so you got 3 points. So well done to you. Paul R. Gregory, Ben Whitlock 13, Wheeler_6, all correctly predicted the score and one score, so you guys get 4 points. But extra special props go to Neil Langhorn, Theo the Wyvern, JME Ray 72, Steve Chaplin 4, Derby 507, LOFC Treza, lovely to see you yesterday.
Yes.
C. Vlatas, Glenn Gatti, Ian Hutchinson 08. Huge props to all of you. 3-1 predicted score and two of the scorers. So you all get a whopping 5 points, which now means the top of the prediction league is as follows.
Yeah, so Dave Bruce still leading the way on 28 points. Dave Bruce 4-7-9-7-6-9-1-1. 3 points behind him on 25 points is Rio_Orient. And Steve Chaplin 4 is now with a real chance of winning it following his 5-point haul yesterday. 24 points, so just outside of them. Eastside Orient, Paul R. Gregory and Theo the Wyvern are on 23 points. Dan William H. and LOFC Teresa. So 4 games left to predict on. It's going to be very tight at the top of the Prediction League. I think it might go to the last game of the season. All right, Sunday the 7th of April. Happy birthday to O's Chief Scout Steve Foster and to Par. I think it was Par's on Friday or Saturday. It wasn't today. It was either yesterday or on
Friday. It was yesterday. Sorry, I put it in the wrong day. Yes.
All right.
Birthday, Par.
Absolutely. Lots and lots of birthdays at the club the past 3 weeks. Hope you had a great day, Pa and Steve.
Indeed. So the ladies team were in action today and our famous ladies reconfirmed their unpredictability as they took on fourth bottom Camden Town. This time it was a quarter final of the League Cup, so a cup final was just 2 wins away. Unfortunately, not anymore.
Yeah, all right, let's go. Jordan Feldman ran through the Camden defence, got on the end of a great pass from Grace Cornell Brazand. After a tussle with a marker, squeezed the ball into the net to give the O's a half-time lead. But 2 goals around the hour mark from Camden turned the game upside down and it was left for the super subs of Leanne Bates and Chloe Cabot to come on the field, having sat on the bench for 70-odd minutes to team up again. And that partnership saw Leanne finish sweetly after a great dribbling run through defence from Chloe had set up her chance.
At 2-2 though, the game went straight to penalties where every attempt was successful until the 11th penalty, as Camden keeper pulled off a good save, and with that, we exited the cup 6-5.
Unlucky.
Super unlucky, ladies.
Yeah, not to worry. Decent performance. Right, so next Sunday, the 14th of April, the top side and current favourites, Comets WFC, travel to Buckhurst Hill to confirm their standing as the number one side in the Premier League. They're coming to play the O's women, and goodness knows what will happen. But you'll find out about it in next week's podcast. Amazing write-ups. Thank you to LOFCwomen.com who have given us so much amazing content on the women's results. Indeed. So 1 hour, 36 minutes.
This has been a bit of a bumper.
Let's wrap this up and we'll do a fantasy football league update.
All right, how are you getting on?
Hopefully the table has updated. All right, so the table hasn't updated since yesterday. So this is going from yesterday's results. So this could well change. But at some recording, Jamie Wellham is top of the Orient Outlook Podcast Fantasy League on 1,991 points. He is 18 points ahead of Josh Abrahams in second place, who is also 9 points ahead of Adam Preston. So quite close at the top. I have shifted down to 229th place in the league, but there's 3 games today where the points have all got to be added on. So keep your eyes on fantasypremier.com. There's still quite a few Premier League games to play, even though there's only 4 EFL games left to play. I think there's still 8 Premier League games left to play, and there's lots of places for you to move up or down on. Thanks to everyone who's playing in our Premier League, and we hope you're all having great fun. It's the most annoying game though, mate. I can't tell you. Although I'm top of my family thing, which is the only league I care about. So as long as I win that, I don't care. Got to beat my 11-year-old nephew and my 15-year-old nephew, which it looks like it's going to happen. So come on.
That's why I don't do it, because I haven't got the time or the space in my brain to deal with that. So positives and negatives. We've got quite a few positives this week, so we'll take a couple each and then 1 negative each. So we obviously beat Cheltenham 3-1. Big positive there. And obviously the return of Dan Aggie to the first team squad as well. It's good to see.
Love to see. All right. The last 2 positives. Jack Simpson making his debuts now. He can play for the O's. He can start for the O's. His suspension is over. And from yesterday, we like the look of what we have seen from him. And also, I think this happened now 2 weeks ago, but we've got to mention it. It's not every day your youth team goes to a Premier League team and beats them 5-0. So well done to the youth team.
Yeah.
Amazing result of that to beat Luton Town 5-0. All right, those positives?
Yeah. Oh, Zach Caballero's performance yesterday could also be worthy of a huge positive. Well, 2 negatives, the losses to Lincoln and Peter. I think both of those games really were games we probably ought to have taken something from.
Yeah, and guess what hurts? 2 teams who look likely to probably both be in the playoffs. So Lincoln slipped out yesterday.
They did.
Having drawn at Reading and Oxford beat 4-0. And now Burton are in the relegation places in the division
and
as well.
And Port Vale have jumped out.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's going to be interesting. Last negative, Idris's injury. So like we said, he's out for the season. Whether or not we'll see him again in a Norwich shirt, who knows? We'll obviously speak about Idris in our end of season podcast, because I think that'll be well worth talking about. All right, hero of the fortnight, or hero of the 3 weeks gone. I mean, we could have given it to multiple players. I mean, just based on yesterday, you could have given it to Ollie O'Neill. You could have given it to Zach Caballero. You could have given it to Jack Simpson. You could have given it to Ruel for his goal. Lots of contenders. But we think over the last 3 weeks, considering this guy, Paul has mentioned him already, and probably given Peterborough United fans ideas about signing him potentially, as he mentioned Peterborough. he's been full of praise for him. So the hero of the 3 weeks is
Ethan Galbraith. Very richly deserved. Well done. And it's great to be able to name him as our hero this week. So next week's fixtures, a bit of a busy one actually, because we've got two fixtures. We've got the rearranged game first up with Exeter City. That's happening this Tuesday, the 9th of April. They are currently 12th place in League One. They beat Stevenage 1-0 at home yesterday. Good. They've won their last four of their last five, having drawn one. So they are on some good form as well. I think it's 1-2, drawn one, 1-2. So they are in good form there. Bit scary that.
Yeah, I mean, I think I will say in this one, my daughter is a flag bearer in this one as well. So if you see her walking around waving a flag, she'll be like the tallest girl there. Doesn't look anything like me, so no one probably recognise her. But if you do, give her an oi-oi Jess, she will love that.
You better warn her that you've told that.
I will do. I mean, that isn't anything to do with the podcast. That's down to the great work the Orient do in the community and help her school out. Thomas Willingale, who I'll shout out, doing their Junior Duke Awards. So well played to everyone at the club and at the school also for doing that. It's just nice coincidence.
Absolutely. Then on Saturday the 13th of April, one of the biggest away days of the season, as we travel to Derby County, who are currently second in League One. They are just a point ahead of Bolton Wanderers. So this is a big game.
Yeah, they need to
big
win this.
Big game for them as we get into the final crux of the season. Now, they've won three, drawn one and lost one of their last five, so they're in good form.
We're taking a decent following. I think we sold over 1,200 tickets, yeah. I think, and they'll be more bound to rock up. Obviously, massive ground, massive club, massive away end. But again, they've played 42. Bolton have played 42. 1 point between those two teams. They need the points. And obviously, they've got players
similar
like
goal
Dwight Gale.
Well.
They've got some big players there.
Yeah.
That's kind of ground we could go to. Who knows what your Orient could do. If you
absolutely
go and have a very safe journey, tweet us on your journey, tweet us during the match, or tweet us on your way home. So
point and two goals in it.
Yeah, great. It's gonna go down to the wire, that one. It's been a bumper episode. Thanks for sticking with us. But before we leave you, don't forget to get in touch with John and the fantastic team at Carroll Langley Florists. Give them a call on 0208 529 4130, or get in contact with them via social media. You can find them on Twitter at Carroll Langley E4 or EssexBiz, where you can find John. You can also find the team on Instagram at Carroll Langley Florists, or you can find the guys on Facebook at Carroll Langley Florists.
You can indeed. So that is it. Finally, that is it. Thank you very much for joining us for episode 352. It's been a very busy Easter down in E10. Two defeats, Lincoln and Peterborough, over that period meant our playoff dreams were ended. But Richie Wellens' Red and White Army got back to winning ways with a 3-1 win against Cheltenham Town. We look to finish the season strongly, keep up the momentum into the new season. And we now have a chance to do this with two games this week that you can look forward to hearing about in next week's episode from your South Stand chums, although not me, because I am out next Sunday night. So Steve will be joined by a special guest next week here at Orient Outlook Podcast Towers.
Very true. If you're listening on iTunes, please subscribe. You can give the podcast a 5-star rating, so do that on iTunes. If you're listening on Spotify, don't forget you can rate the show if you're listening on Spotify. You can also leave a comment on each episode. So if you're listening via Spotify or via iTunes, please do that. And don't forget to do, if you have the chance, to follow us on any of your chosen podcast providers. That way, you'll get all the episodes as soon as they are available. You can find the podcast anywhere that you find anything. Smart speakers, the Fan Hub app, YouTube, anywhere. Listening to the podcast has never been easier. If you have an older relative, a loved one, an Orient chum, a new fan, anyone on the train listening to the podcast, anyone anywhere, don't forget to grab their phones, download it for them, and pass the pod.
Indeed, absolutely. We're going to be back next week with episode 353 with all the information, all the news and views that you could possibly ever need to hear about. We look forward to hearing from you in the meantime. So keep calm, stay safe, have a great week, and listen to the Orient Outlook podcast.
Up the O's!